putting on your hiking boots and joining me for this session of On the Right ADHD Trail. I'm Kathy Getz, owner of Get Focused. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. This is my third time hosting this summit focusing on men and ADHD, and I couldn't be more excited to chat with each of these 15 incredible ADHD experts. You can find out more about me and my coaching practice at getfocused.com. That's getfocused.com. But before we bring on my guests, I'd like to thank our VIP Telesummit sponsor, Lori DePar, owner and director of the International ADHD Coach Training Center, where they train ADHD coaches to be the change they wish to see in the world. Please check them out at iaccenter.com. You can enroll now for the January 2022 semester. But are you worried? How am I going to find the time to listen this weekend? I have the solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For $85, you have extended digital access to all the recordings, a transcript of our audio interviews, and as a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking, let's get started with meet our next presenter, Mr. Alan Brown. Alan is an ADHD productivity coach and host of Crusher TV. Alan is the creative force behind ADD Crusher, the award-winning video series designed for ADHD teens and adults. Alan was undiagnosed for decades. Untreated ADHD manifested itself in underachievement, failed relationships, substance abuse, and worse. Once diagnosed, he found it difficult to learn coping strategies from books, so he developed his own evidence-based brain hack strategies while building a successful advertising career and several startups. He is a featured presenter at ADHD conferences in the United States and abroad, and a TEDx speaker. He is the number one best-selling author of Zen and the Art of Productivity. You can get Alan's free ebook, 5 Things You're Doing Every Day That Make Your ADHD Worse, at www.addcrusher.com. Alan's presentation tonight is Money, Mindset, and Strategy, How I Went from $100,000 in Credit Card Debt to Financial Freedom. Welcome, Alan. I'm so glad you're here tonight.
I'm so glad to be back. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So tell us about this money mindset and strategy.
Well, this is something I've been talking about a lot lately, and it's something that I'm finding that isn't getting talked about enough, frankly, and that's our relationship with money. And, you know, there are a lot of sort of basic principles we have all heard around, but there really is a deeper game to money, especially when it comes to the ADHD tribe, you know, because what is going on in our brain, which can be a lot of chaos, has a lot to do with what is going on in our bank accounts. And, you know, money mindset really is an important thing. It's not a lot of woo-woo stuff. It really is an important thing. And I want to share with my tribe, especially my fellow ADHD men out there, some important concepts for, you know, helping to manage what is often the unmanageable for ADHD adults. So I want to talk about some key mistakes that we make in thinking about our financial future. I'd like to just briefly share a 4-step process toward a better money mindset, which happens to be a process you can apply to any goal setting and any area of your life. And then I've got a handful of money management strategies that I have used and that are evidence-based, therefore you can have some confidence in them. And hopefully these will be things that can help you to shore up your financial strategy and mindset and life.
Okay. Well, tell us about your financial journey and how your ADHD played a role.
Well, I am, as you mentioned in the bio, I'm someone who was undiagnosed until later in life. I wasn't diagnosed till I was 37.
Okay.
And my ADHD manifested not only in some real bad underachievement, but also in some irresponsible spending and other behaviors. But for instance, I was super impulsive. I would just buy things because, hey, it's there. Here's a quick true story. So
okay.
When I was, I think I was 22 or something, and I'd gotten my first credit card in the mail, right? It had an $800 credit limit. And literally within 2 hours of getting this credit card in the mail, I lived in New Jersey. I was in New York City buying a piano. That's within 2 hours, a piano, okay? And the piano was $800, okay? And guess what? I didn't play piano.
Okay.
Absolutely true story. And, you know, it went on from there. You know, it's this classic ADHD impulsivity. I'd make other big ticket item impulse purchases with little or no thought, let alone research.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have everything now. So later in life, when I was making big money as an ad executive, I was spending between $12,000 and $18,000 a year on restaurants. This is not reimbursable client entertainment. It was me traipsing around New York City on dates, buying everybody dinner. Though I was racking up a lot of airline miles, but we'll come back to that. So it was the impulsivity. But another thing was I couldn't plan, right? It's another weakness for ADDers, right? We're terrible at planning. So I couldn't plan, let alone stick to a plan. So the old, okay, here's my budget for the month. That'll work. We're going to set a budget. That'll work. And just generally, I couldn't be bothered, right? So I just kept loaning up my credit cards until I got to literally $100,000 in credit card debt. And this was at 28% interest. That's 28% interest. That's $28,000 just in interest payments every year when you're already $100,000 in debt. Now, in fairness, that financial situation arose partly out of necessity as I was helping to self-fund my first startup that would later be sold for eight figures. So there's sort of the curse and the blessing of ADHD, because my ADHD was kind of a superpower that helped me contribute to the startup that I co-founded. But anyway, more than at least half of that debt, probably two-thirds or three-quarters of that debt, was due to just bad habits and a very messy mindset. And I'll just share a few real quick stats to make sure everyone understands. It's not just me. And it's not just our ADHD tribe, but generally, only 11% of us are saving the optimal amount for retirement. 57% of Americans can't pass a simple financial literacy test, and the average U.S. household is paying over $6,000 a year in interest. So it's a problem all around, but it's just doubly an issue among our ADHD tribe. And according to Dr. Russell Barkley, whom some of our listeners have heard of, 61% of us ADDers have chronic financial problems.
Oh, wow. I believe that. Yeah, I truly do believe that. Because we have a hard time keeping our jobs, for one thing. And then we have this impulsive buying that, oh, wait, here, let me get this. I'll put it on my card. Wow. So what do you do? How did you get out of this?
Well, it certainly wasn't something that happened immediately, and there certainly are not any quick fixes for poor money management mindset. But I'd say that the most important thing that I did, and I'm going to share some more stuff when we get to the end. I'm going to share some very specific things, but
okay.
I did a deep dive into goal setting strategies at a very special seminar about 10, 12 years ago, and it was called Lifebook, and it was an on-site thing for 4 days. We dove deeply into 12 areas of life, not just financial, but spiritual, career. family, physical health, et cetera. And what I learned from this thing, and by the way, at that time I was already pretty much cleaned up and definitely in the positive. First startup had already been sold, and I got my payout from that, et cetera. But I still had poor financial habits, and I didn't have a healthy mindset. So I wasn't poverty-stricken or anything. But here are just a few things that I learned, and now I'm going to share this a little bit more deeply in sort of a four-step way to maybe put together a strong mindset. And what I was doing to get myself straightened out was I was understanding the mistakes that many of us make when it comes to managing our money, right? And so one of them is we think that if we just have a goal, okay, I'm going to retire by this age, and I want to have this much money in the bank, blah, 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 and then some strategies toward that, that's enough. So that's a mistake, because one of the things that we really need to do is we need to define a purpose. What is our purpose? Why is it that we want this amount of money, right? I mean, think about trying to get physically fit. And I've done a lot of research on this, and there has been a lot of research done on this. It turns out that people who are trying to exercise more often, or just exercise, with the goal of living longer or looking sexier or losing weight, are less likely to exercise regularly than people who exercise because they actually enjoy doing it, right? Or it's fun, right?
Yeah.
And so
if
we don't have a good, valid purpose, that's going to be, a very difficult, a much more difficult road to hoe. Now, another mistake that we often make is we don't have a real vision, right? We have this sort of this ambiguous idea of, I'm going to retire, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to go get a home in this town or whatever. But, if you could have a goal of saving, this amount of money, but what is the real vision? Have you taken time to envision what you will be doing every day? What does your home look like? Are you traveling? Yes. Well, are you going to the Jersey Shore or are you going to Jakarta? And the richer your vision, right, and no pun intended there, the more relevant will be your goal. So don't make the mistake of setting goals in any area of your life, by the way, whether, personal fitness, finances, or career, without a powerful, detailed vision. And the last kind of mistake that a lot of us make is you should really take the time to formulate or articulate what your beliefs are about money. What are your beliefs about money? What are your beliefs about talent versus hard work versus good fortune? What are your beliefs about risk taking? Right. So I'm a believer in risk taker. Not everybody is. You want to make sure that you understand where your beliefs stand. What are your beliefs about corporate loyalty? Or what are your beliefs about your ability to make it as a solopreneur? So just to kind of recap that little bit there, let's make sure that we have a real purpose for where we're going financially. What's the vision out there if we get to our goal? What does it really look like? And then, what are your beliefs about money? And as I mentioned, you can apply this basic formula to really any goal in life. So that's both what I just shared are both some mistakes that we often make, but it also provides a little bit of a formula for going, through, and I invite everybody who's listening here to maybe take a couple hours during the weekend or something or some morning or some evening to just sit down with a blank sheet of paper and think about, one, what are your beliefs about money? Right. What do you believe?
Right.
You might believe that, I don't need more things to give my life meaning. I can give more meaning to the things already in my life. Right. Those can be powerful beliefs. You could have a belief like money flows away from people who hoard, disrespect, and waste it, et cetera. But find out, ask yourself what it is you really believe about money. And then the next step would be to brainstorm that real vision of your future financial life. Right. So, you know, where are you living? What are you spending money on? How much are you spending? I have a very specific vision, very specific. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what restaurants I'm eating at. I know what wine I'm buying. I mean, I really got it nailed down. But then also, as I mentioned before, you know, identify your purpose. Why are you doing this? You know, is part of your financial goal? Is it part legacy, or is it I want material ease, or is it I want to have a certain home that I can invite my friends and family to, et cetera? You know, what is the purpose for you? Do you want to be a philanthropist, or is it all the above? All right. So then.
Okay.
Once you've got those foundations down, that's when you start to work on some strategies, right? So,
okay.
I know this is a little long-winded, but this sort of brings me to some strategies that I want to share that help me dig out of the trouble that I was in.
Yes,
and
definitely.
So one thing is we all have to extend our time horizon, right?
Right.
The things don't change for us because we got some windfall. Sure, if you're fortunate enough to get some kind of inheritance that changes your, you know, changes your financial situation dramatically, great. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have a purpose and a vision, you're going to end up blowing that money, right?
Yeah.
If you don't really
right.
have your ish together on that, you're going to end up like Nicolas Cage, who has made hundreds of millions of dollars making movies, but he's going bankrupt because he didn't have a solid, sane vision for what it is he wanted. So anyway, here's another one, another strategy that really helped me: guard against lifestyle creep. So one day.
Okay, repeat that again. Guard against.
Guard what? Against lifestyle creep, right? So here's the classic
okay.
thing. Here's the classic thing. We get the promotion and we get the raise, right? Or even we get that inheritance or that windfall from something or whatever. And then we go and we upgrade our car. So now our car payment goes from $300 to $600 a month. Or we move to a bigger home. Or, and this is tricky in New York City, you move to a more expensive apartment than the one that was already ridiculously expensive, right? So,
right.
So, I knew this because I had already sort of gotten clear on this after experiencing lifestyle creep. So, one day in 2007, I had, let's just say, X ten thousands of dollars in the bank, and then X so a few hundred thousand dollars in retirement or whatever. And the next day, I had over $1 million in my checking account. That was as a result of the sale of my first startup, right? So
okay.
the temptation was to dramatically change my lifestyle.
Right.
And I did buy a condo, a really nice condo. But other than that, I didn't go, but I could have gone and written a check for a Maserati. I could have written a check for a boat, you know?
Right.
This is not to boast. I just want to give this very extreme example of how when you really know what your vision is and what your purpose is and what your beliefs are about money, you will not get into the kind of trouble that, you know, can result from lifestyle creep. But maybe it's best just to sit on those simpler examples of, you know what, don't go getting a fancier car just because you got a raise or because – you know, you had a little windfall. Another really key strategy is
okay.
what I just call out of sight, out of mind, which means to have money taken away from you every month without you even knowing it. Like having an auto.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I have right now $1,000 that just disappears from me every month, and it goes into a fund. Right? I never see it. It doesn't bother me. I'm very blessed that I don't, you know, and I invest other money too, but just having that automatic $1,000 just disappearing from me. I started doing that in 2009 and I did it for this is the first time I did it. I did it for 72 months straight. And the reason I did it was just to have, you know, to save $1,000 a month and keep it out of my dirty little fingers. Right. So I wouldn't blow it on dinners and, you know, because I was spending a lot of money on this. So, but after 72 months, I didn't just have $72,000. I had $103,000.
Yes.
That's the power of compounding. I won't give any speeches on compounding. That's more, you know, everybody kind of knows about that. But the way to take advantage of compounding is to get it out of, you take it out of your sight so it's out of your mind, right? That's another strategy, basic strategy that I use. And that, on the sort of on a more sort of tactical level, beware of magical thinking, right? Beware of, well, I should have that promotion later this year, so I will go ahead and get a bigger car.
Yeah.
You know, right? We this is one of the ADHD curses, right? We do this magical thinking, unrealistic thinking. So, I think my grandma's going to leave me some money in a couple of years. So, hey, let's go ahead and take that trip to, you know, Indonesia with the whole family, which would, by the way, I recommend doing that. Bali is an amazing place. another one, this is really super tactical, but subscription creep. Right, the subscription economy has grown at over 300% in the last 5 years. These are all these subscription models that are out there: Netflix, Hulu, HBO, various services. Your Dropbox, your Apple iCloud. Everything is a subscription nowadays, and we don't really think about it because they come in dribs and drabs of $10 here, $15 there, $20 there. But if you were to go and look at all the subscriptions that you have, you might find that you're spending $300, $400, $500 a month. And even if it's just $100 a month, if you don't need all those subscriptions or if you're not using them, then you're a victim of subscription creep. Let's see.
Yeah, that's a good one. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So a couple other real sort of tactical ones are, a lot of financial folks talk about, tracking all of your expenditures for a month or whatever. Uh-huh. I don't happen to believe in that only because I just don't think I will ever have the energy to do that. You know, I'll start doing something like that and I go, you know what, this is too much work. So
yeah.
if you can do that, right? Go ahead. Sorry,
yeah.
Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, no, we all start, and then after about a week, 2 weeks, like, no, don't want to do this one.
Exactly. So I always like to recommend things that are small and easy. So, for instance, what if you were to just print out three of your most recent credit card statements? That's all. Just print them out, and then just sit down sometime and look where your money's going. You don't have to do some big analysis. Just circle all the Starbucks, circle all the this and that, and just have some idea where your money's going. Because if you find that you're blowing, $150 a month on Starbucks or whatever it is, with all due respect to Starbucks, you might go, you know what? I'm going to brew a pot of coffee at work or at home or whatever. Another one is, and this is sort of comes out of the kind of what I call know where it goes, is identify your top three money leaks, right? Where are your money leaks? What are the biggest leaks?
A leak would be?
Well, definitely they would be subscriptions that you are not using, right? So subscriptions to businesses, subscriptions to magazines, right?
Yeah.
Subscriptions to any service you're not using, reading, or benefiting from. And remember, you can always resubscribe. But also, take a look at how much you might be spending on a certain, food. Let's say that maybe is not a healthy food, or look at how much you're spending going out for food or having it delivered. Holy cow, folks. when you order a delivery from Grubhub, and again, I don't mean to diss any of these services, which have really been saviors in the pandemic, but when you look at the bill for one of these things, you've got the delivery fee and then you've got a tip, and I'm a former bartender and waiter, so I'm all about tipping. I'm a really big tipper. But just look at the impact of the food delivery on your pocketbook, and it might be worth it for you to jump in the car and go pick it up, or make some pizza yourself. Anyway, so those are
you sound like my husband
kind of money.
Yeah, make the pizza.
Here's one that really helped me. I was joking before about how, you know, the $12,000 to $18,000 a year I was spending on restaurants was at least getting me a lot of airline miles. Here's a bit of advice. Use one credit card that gets rewards, and just don't use a credit card that doesn't give you rewards. And by the way, my advice, don't use a credit card that gives you, quote, money back. Because all it does is it puts the money back into your credit card so that you can go spend more. It's a wonderful trick they do. They give you back, they charge you a ridiculous amount of interest, right, which all the credit cards do. And then they give you back a couple of points of interest. And what do you – you just spend it again. So have the card that gives you miles. Think about this. Maybe you've got some cousins or a mom or a grandma who lives in a slightly different region, or let alone across the country. And if you ran everything you bought, just about everything you bought, as I do, through a miles credit card, you would maybe never have to pay for travel again. I've got two credit cards, one business, one personal. Those are the only two that I use. And I have 400,000 miles between them. And that's after only about a year and a half ago, I flew first class to Rome and Croatia and back with miles.
Wow.
So anyway, get one card.
Well, that's a real good one.
Yeah. And ideally it's the one with the lowest interest rate. But, you know, if it's a choice between, well, this one has a slightly lowest interest rate but doesn't give me miles, go with the one with the miles, unless you never travel. If you don't travel, then don't worry about it. Here's a big one, Kathy. Here's one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
Stop with the stuff. What is stuff?
Stuff is
things that we get that feel like, you know, things that occupy space in our life that don't serve a function or provide real joy on a regular basis. Our homes are full of stuff. George Carlin famously observed that that's all your house is. It's a place to keep all your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. And sometimes, you know, you got to move. You got to go get a bigger house. Why? You got too much stuff. Now,
I know.
And it's a great piece.
What you're talking about.
If you just Google George Carlin stuff on YouTube, you will be rewarded by this ingenious stick that he goes, but it's just so full of truth. Anyway, everybody's different, so I can't say there's a more specific definition of stuff because, well, to quote George Carlin, and I'm going to – I'll do a bleep, but have you noticed that other people's stuff is blank and your blank is stuff? You'll fill in the gap there. But I do invite you to take a look at those credit card statements and around your home to see if you can identify – what might be considered stuff, you know? Do you need that additional pair of shoes? Do you need that other tchotchke for yourself? Do you need that another throw pillow? I don't know. Do you need the new bathroom, you know, the matching toilet lid? And I'm just making stuff up, but, you know,
no.
All right.
No.
So
I know what you're talking about. This has really been great, but we are getting close to the end. So do you have any last things you want to say and then tell us about your free gift that you're offering?
Yeah. How about this one?
Okay.
How about I'm going to give you the anti-nag. I'm going to stop nagging everybody now, all right? Are you ready?
Okay.
Here's another strategy, okay? Spend more on something you love, all right?
Huh?
What are the two or three things you spend money on in your life that bring you the most joy? Maybe it's an annual vacation. Maybe it's your love of great food and wine. That's one of my loves. Having, you know, high-end cookware. Maybe it's a hobby that you're super passionate about. When we honor things that we truly love in our lives by investing in them, it helps us save more and spend more responsibly on other things. Right. So motorcycle road racing is my hobby. This is where you're going around a fixed circus like a Formula One circuit. And it's not a cheap hobby. not financially, and neither is it physically, because a lot of I've been in the hospital many times. But pursuing it with passion actually helps me make better choices in where I spend my money. You know, I could easily afford a super nice car, but instead I have a 12-year-old base model Ford pickup truck, because that's how I get my race bike to the track, right? All right. So jot down a few things that you really love that might give you incentive to cut back on some BS, you know, or some stuff, so you can get more enjoyment from that thing. All right. So, I want to let everybody know about my free gift. There is it's a 4-video series. These are 4 quick videos. If you want to be able to run your day like a badass, excuse my French, plan your day like a badass, this video series is called The Productivity Accelerator. It teaches simple ways to take control of your time, your energy, and sanity with foolproof hacks to help you take control of your day so you can get more done in less time and less stress. I also share some secrets to beating procrastination. And all you have to do is go to crushertv.com/accelerator to get that gift.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. This has really been a great interview. I think you've given us some wonderful tips. I especially like the one about the anti-nag, spend more on something you love. That's really good.
I wanted to end it on a high note.
For my husband and I, we don't have new cars or any of that kind of stuff because we have children all around the United States. And so our money goes to going to see our children. And so I also like what you said about getting the mileage. I'm going to look into that because maybe we need to change some of our cards that we're using and everything. So
Great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It has been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Kathy, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
All right. Bye-bye. Stay tuned, and we'll have another presenter in just a little bit.